You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire. Smoke. Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the morning. Starts now.
This is the Roto Experts in the morning. Alongside Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. Good morning, Matty.
Good morning. Last night ended up being a wild night. It was supposed to be, I was actually supposed to do something with my wife, but she had to go away on business. So I signed up for a draft yesterday morning, knowing I was going to be home alone. And as I was in the seventh round of an online championship, I got a phone call from a friend in need, and I came to help out.
It's amazing. What is a wild night for you? I don't think it would be called a wild night for Corey, for the record.
So Christopher Cairo couldn't get on the site because he had his iPad.
Co-host, the old school remix.
Yes, tonight, 9 to 11, with Corey Parson, the fantasy exec. And so I wound up having to log on to that, and I wound up having to do the next 13 rounds of my online championship draft and do an auction with Cairo on the phone. Let's just say, come midnight, I was pretty exhausted.
I'm sure you were. If you drafted midnight, I was asleep at that point. What do we got on the show today? Is Mike Lyon, which could be interesting. It could be a one-on-one affair. Yeah, Is Mike Lyon coming up in a couple hours from now. We also put a little fill in the blank. I got some stuff. It was a big draft weekend here. So I got a bunch of fill in the blanks that I do want to do today. Got a lot of NFL preseason week 3 games that we do want to preview for you. So there's a couple of games we want to go over. I actually thought, Matt, I had some games on last night, which my girlfriend's like, listen, I get football. I get the deal. But like, why are we watching the Eagles and the Dolphins in the preseason? And I was like, you know what? I don't have an excuse for you. I like don't have an answer. Like, what would you like to watch? And she's like, I want to watch Chopped. And I'm just like, yeah.
You wanted to watch Chopped.
No, too. I don't want to watch Chopped.
Honestly, that preseason game, when I got to see of it, was really exciting.
Yeah, like I said, so I had this on. And I was really interested. And I felt like, we're going to get into it, of course, when we come back from the break, Matt. But I learned a lot. I learned a lot from both preseason games, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah, no, and Devontae Parker last night, he's a man that's moving on up. He went with the last pick in the fourth round.
Oh, yeah, and it is quickly moving up, I can assure you, for Devontae Parker. But I do want to save all of that, of course, for the other side of the break, because we got a big couple of big preseason games to talk about. We got to actually, I said yesterday that there wasn't much going on. Like, I felt like I was like kind of pulling at strings to find a ton of good content. Not that I needed to, but like, you know, I felt like there wasn't a mass amount that we could go over. That's not the case this morning. So we have two preseason games in the books for week 3. A lot to go over. We got some Andrew Luck news. I want to actually pick apart a little bit. And then Gilbrand and Art Stapleton are completely disagreeing with each other when it comes to Odell Beckham. So a lot to get into here this morning, and we're going to do it coming up next. It's Roto Experts in the Morning. Matt Modica, Greg Sussman with you. We'll be back right after this.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Roto Experts in the Morning. Matt, you and I have now been joined by a third member of the crew, Scott Engel. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, man. Having fun watching football last night.
A little too much fun, some would say.
And Today is Madden Day, and it's also Gene Simmons' birthday. Happy birthday, Gene. And also getting ready
happy
for...
Why are you saying happy birthday, Gene?
What?
Come on. Should I say happy birthday to a celebrity every day?
Do I do that every day?
You might as well.
I did it one day out of the year.
I'm going to start saying happy birthday to random people.
There you go. On a sadder note, though, I'd like to, note the passing of comedian Jay Thomas, who was actually, one of my colleagues in the celebrity league on our former platform a few times. Nice guy. Sorry to see his passing. So I just wanted to mention that as well. But, looking forward to the weekend. I got some high-stakes drafting coming up. I have a draft champions on Saturday and an NFFC cut line on Sunday. So I'll be looking forward to the weekend. And coming next Thursday, I'll have more info, too. A Beat Scott Engel League in the NFFC on Thursday afternoon.
So you got a big couple of days ahead of you.
Yeah, big couple of days. Right. I don't even know if I'm going to get to play Madden. I might be too busy drafting.
Well, we'll find out. We'll fill in the blank a little bit later on in the show. Anyway, let's get into last night a little bit. Before we hit the Andrew Luck news, I want to go over last night. And I want to get into... I want to start with the game I was able to watch, which was the Eagles and the Dolphins. And like I said to you just a couple moments ago, Matt, I felt like I learned a lot. And let me start with the good, right? Let me start with the good. The good is JJ. And I think there's a lot of question marks about the health of the offensive line. There's a lot of question marks how the offense would change with Jay Cutler at the quarterback position. And it has changed. I mean, Jay Cutler is doing exactly what we expected Jay Cutler to do, and he's throwing the ball up. And if his receiver makes a play, as Devontae Parker did last night, great. But this check down nonsense of Ryan Tannehill, it's gone. That is not happening anymore. We'll get to Jarvis Landry in just a second. But Jay Ajayi's role is still secure, and then they're going to hand the ball off to him. They're going to create these big holes, and he is going to be the man. There's nobody else to play with the starters. There's nobody else that got touches inside the red zone. It was Jay Ajayi every which way. I know a lot of people at this table have question marks about Jay Ajayi. Can he do it again? Can he stay healthy? Is it a fluke? Was it that it was two big games against Buffalo? Nothing else is real. You know what? I can't make any judgments off of one game because it's one game. It's a very small sample size. But I'm a little bit more confident headed into this draft weekend about Jay Ajayi than honestly I was just a couple days ago, Matt.
Yeah, you have to be excited if you watch the game. And the one thing we kept hearing was he was going to be the focal point. He was going to get all the touches. He'll be involved in the passing game and all that. And I think, everything is recency bias, and people watching that game last night, I think JJ is now a first rounder again. I think he wasn't going that far after, but I think he's moving back in. I think he'll cement himself there. And I think the Dolphins are really benefiting from the AFC East with the Jets and the Bills. I don't see how they're not a wild card contender. They should be pretty good this year, unless Cutler just implodes, which I don't think is going to happen.
Yeah, I found, like I said, what said seems to be true to me, that Jay Ajayi has creeped back into the first round. Like and he has been my, ninth, I guess, after Jordan Howard, RB1. I know he's part of your RB1 crew that I'm not super confident in. For me, he's sitting here as number eight now, I guess, with Zeke below. I'm a lot more confident taking him this weekend than I was a couple days ago.
Well, Scott's been drafting Ajayi, right?
I got him in the flex league. Mm-hmm. He was my second round pick. So
you were happy last night.
Yeah, I was, but I still had him at eight, and I'm not moving him into the first round. You look at my first round guide on rotoexperts.com, exclusive edge fantasy football package, enter the king at checkout for a special discount. I'm not moving him. It's like I've been saying it all along, Matt. I think people look too much at last year. Chris Liss of RotoWire made this good point to me, at the FSTAs. And I think there was a lot behind it. He said, you just can't look back at last year. You have to project forward. And I felt there was going to be more consistency. This guy's going to have the ball right out of the gate, whereas last year he wasn't even active for the first game. You give a chance to get a guy in a rhythm and he gains confidence, etc. So I think we'll see more consistency from Ajayi this year. I was feeling that way even before last night. He's a violent runner, which, you know, could lead to some injuries. But in the second round, how scared can you draft? You know, there's the knee-on-knee thing that he came into the NFL. But look, right now he looks good. I'm not reactionary. I'm not moving him up. You know, I always felt the guy was a pretty good second-round pick. He's got a lot of positives, a few negatives, and that's where it lies. As far as the quarterback situation goes, you said Cutler could implode. You know, it could be a thing like the Jets a few years ago where you know, they're on the verge of making the playoffs and Cutler throws a game-sealing interception and they don't make it. That's the kind of guy Cutler is. But I will say this, Dolphin fans might finally be able to watch the quarterback position, you know, with at least a little bit of excitement for the first time since Dan Marino retired.
Well, listen, I'm not going to do these dramatics here.
Well, you can't name me a competent quarterback since he retired.
I think Ryan Tannehill's been competent. I mean,
yeah, Alex Smith, he's...
Alex Smith took his team to the AFC Championship game last year.
Maybe he's not as good as Alex Smith.
Ryan Tannehill was on the verge of taking his team to the playoffs. So I think that's competence, for sure. That's not, it's like, maybe he's not fantasy relevant, but...
Ryan Tannehill's mediocre. They made it in spite of him.
I know you hate Ryan Tannehill with this passion.
I hate Ryan Tannehill, and the quarterback position has been an abyss ever since Marino retired in Miami.
Look, I normally think that's true. I think Ryan Tannehill solidified the position, whether you like him or not. I mean, he got the contract extension there for, you know, a couple of years anyway.
Solidified? I don't know if I agree with that.
I know, you hate Ryan Tannehill. I got it.
Yeah.
But the point is, wrapping up the J.H.I.A. thing, I'm confident with him at the end of the first round. I know you've said, Scott, that you think he was a second-round pick. I am just a lot more confident than I was. End of story.
Yeah, well, if you put him versus... I mean, look, I made the point yesterday about Jordan Howard, how since October 2nd of last year, he was pretty much 100 yards off of Zeke. He was really good on a bad team. Now you keep hearing this stuff about Tariq Cohen getting maybe 10 touches or more a week. I don't know how true that is. I'm still confident in Jordan Howard as a back. I think he showed us that he's very good and could produce in a bad environment. But I'm more confident in Ajayi going forward today for the fact that it's his role, it's his gig, and he's the lead dog. My question is, would you draft Kenyon Drake, who they've said, if something happened to Ajayi, he could be a lead back. They have no problems with that. They seem pretty high on him.
Yeah, he didn't have a good game last night, and the talk out of Miami is that it could be like a Damian Williams-led timeshare, actually, if Ajayi were to go down. So, you know, that's why I said, you check out my new article on Seahawks.com about draft strategy, and I say, you know, don't tie yourself into drafting handcuffs because the handcuff may not always be apparent this time of year.
It's true, and that's completely true. Of course, as I said yesterday on the show, Mike Clay actually made a good point. He's like, listen, right now it's time you go pick up these handcuffs. God knows what's going to happen in that third preseason game. There's a lot of question marks, of course. A lot of injuries can happen. This is real. So I didn't necessarily disagree with that philosophy. Okay, sticking with the Dolphins here. I mentioned it earlier, and that was that Jay Cutler. Scott, you said to bring competency back to the position. Jay Cutler has his issues, but one of the things that he'll never, obviously, be afraid to do is just throw the ball up and give his receivers a chance. We saw that multiple times last night. We've seen that multiple times in the preseason. But ultimately, it was never more apparent than he legitimately threw a 50-50 ball up to Devontae Parker with a little bit of a push-off, but picked it up. Won it, and then ran down to the 3-yard line before Jay Ajayi plunged it in. Devontae Parker is going to be a menace if Jay Cutler continues to give him those opportunities. Now, he's going to have to stay healthy. He's going to have to stay on the field. I know, Matt, you said a moment ago, 4-11 is where you saw Devontae Parker go last night. But Devontae Parker is going to be an absolute beast if he can stay on the field. Jarvis Landry, not so much. We'll get to that in a moment. But Devontae Parker, I think the upside, and I think the excitement, I think it's real.
Yeah, no, the talent is there, and he's got the quarterback to flush that out now. I still don't think Jarvis Landry is going to be a bust this year. I know people are really starting to sour on him. And in the GST on Sunday, I took Parker ahead of Landry with the first pick in the sixth round. But I'm just saying, I see guys like Landry falling. Emmanuel Sanders falls for some reason, too. I don't understand that, but... You know, take advantage of that. If he's your third, fourth receiver, I think you're fine.
Yeah, because, you know, team's going to watch the preseason film on Cutler and see that he favors Parker. you know, to drop Landry, I think, is a mistake because he's not going to be able to throw deep every play. When he has to move the chains with a high percentage pass, it's still going to be Landry that catches it. And, you know, he can go downfield to Landry. You know, Tannehill didn't do that a lot, but I think that's going to open up more for Landry. I think both these receivers could score 7 touchdowns each this year. I think it's a mistake to bump Landry down based on the preseason and the excitement over Parker.
We'll talk more about that because I kind of disagree with you, Scott. We'll talk more about that on the other side and talk more about this Miami-Philadelphia game when we return here on the Road Rushers in the Morning.
It's the summer, but you can already feel the howl of the winter wind. You don't want to go to the beach. You want to break out that heavy coat and head for the stadium parking lot because nothing makes you feel warmer than football season. But you don't have to wait for the calendar to flip a few times at rotoexperts.com, where fantasy football season has already started. The award-winning team at Roto Experts has you ready for the new campaign with the return of the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package for 2017. Packed with tons of in-depth insights from the industry's top experts, we get you fully prepared for a championship campaign with a deluxe draft package that includes projections, strategy articles, sleepers, busts, a cheat sheet generator, and so much more. And you're guaranteed additional access throughout the regular season. So put your gloves on now, even while it's hot outside, and get into mid-season form. Go to rotoexperts.com and register for the 2017 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter code FREERADIO at checkout for a very special discount.
So for the break, you, Scott Engel, sir, you mentioned that you don't want to drop Landry in your rankings too much because, listen, you're not going to be able to. Once the opponents see how the Dolphins are running their offense, they're going to be able to do what they're doing with Parker. They're going to key in on this. And I don't want to misquote you. You said you think both can get 7 touchdowns. Is that what you said?
I think both of them can have a good year. You know, Cutler's going to sling it, and there's going to be offensive balance. And we can't overreact to what we see in the preseason all the time. It's great to see what Parker is doing, but you're not going to be able to throw down yards for 70 on every play. And Landry's a very creative route runner. He's quick after the catch. He's going to get open. Let's just say, to flip it in my mind, like, you know, if Doug Baldwin, you know, didn't have Russell Wilson, he might be a different kind of receiver. You know, Wilson throws really downfield well. If he had, say, Alex Smith or Ryan Tannehill, Baldwin would be a different receiver. I believe the same thing with Landry. Don't think we've seen the best of his skill set with Ryan Tannehill. And I think when defenses know that Jay Cutler is going to go to Parker, not that they're going to be able to stop it all the time, though, you know, that's going to leave some more openings for Landry. And he's still his best target when he needs a possession sort of catch. So I think you're going to see Landry's yardage go up, his touchdowns go up, and his catches go down.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, you mentioned the word 7 touchdowns for Jarvis Landry, which he's obviously never had in his career. And from what I saw last night, there is not going to be this. And I know what you're saying, that it's a different quarterback, it's a different game style, it's a different game plan with a gunslinger rather than Ryan Tannehill. But Matt, this is not the style Miami has had success with, or Jarvis Landry, rather, has had success with in the past. And I saw the routes that Jarvis Landry were running, and it was just not the typical short yardage crossing stuff that he's done. And I think you have to drop Jarvis Landry in your rankings. I do.
Look, you have to drop him, but I just wouldn't drop him too far. I had him maybe just inside the top 20. Now he's probably around that 25-ish range, something like that. I think he's just, like Scott said, I think this is a very talented receiver. Going over the last 3 seasons, 288 receptions, just like Odell Beckham. Obviously, the yardage and the touchdowns, there's no comparison. But I think, look, we've seen Eddie Roy, we've seen other guys be successful with Jay Cutler. Doesn't just have to be, what's his name? Devontae Parker.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, I think people are just totally, you know, scared of him now. And yeah. I don't think that's right, neither.
Okay, so
I'm not moving him all in my ranks at all. And, you know, I'm not just going to go by what I saw last night. With all due respect to you, I'm projecting forward, you know, when, you know, because, again, you're not going to see every defensive or offensive look in the preseason.
Absolutely.
That you see during the regular season. I'm more, I'm not moving Landry at all in my rankings. I just think his statistical profile changes.
Where is he in your rankings?
He's 18.
He's 18. Yeah. So, yeah, he's at least 24 for me. And to be honest,
didn't do that.
Okay, well, I'm going to give you some names. So obviously, I felt confident in it. Okay, yeah. Are you ready? Here we go. Would you rather have Jarvis Landry or, let's start up top, or Alshon Jeffrey? You're a big Alshon Jeffrey guy.
Alshon Jeffrey.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alshon Jeffrey. Yeah. I knew that.
That's close.
Interesting.
Close.
Allen Robinson or Jarvis Landry?
Jarvis Landry.
Whew, that is very close. At that point, do I... I'd probably go Allen Robinson because I want that number one upside,
yep.
But it's scary.
So that's a close one for you. It's not
close for me.
Where's Allen Robinson in your rankings?
21.
That's only three spots away.
So. Yeah, but you know, it's like when I start breaking them to tiers, they're not going to be in the same tier.
Okay. Michael Crabtree or Jarvis Landry?
PPR, Jarvis Landry, standard, Michael Crabtree.
Matt?
That's where pretty much are at. I'll probably go Crabtree because of the touchdowns.
I would definitely go Crabtree here. Golden Tate or Jarvis Landry?
Golden Tate. I had Landry with that Golden Tate, Keenan Allen mix.
Yep.
Golden Tate.
Okay. Jamison Crowder or Jarvis Landry?
Jarvis Landry.
That to me is really close. They're right there, like, you know, neck and neck. Sometimes I'll take Crowder. Sometimes I'll take Landry.
Yeah, that's usually, in the New York Super, which one are you choosing?
I'll probably go Crowder because I'm a little more confident in the role that he has and that. So that I would take that. I'll say the guy that jumped into Jarvis Landry's old spot would be Stephon Diggs for me. He's really moved up.
Stephon Diggs is the one we're going to talk about later on in the show because I read an interesting quote about Stephon Diggs that I want to bring up, and I think that this week I'm going to need to get a share or two.
I've gotten quite a few shares.
I know. You. I remember it was a week or two ago. You're like, listen, the guy I'm jumping in on right now, which I have no shares of, but I need to jump in on, is Stephon Diggs. And I'm Mr. Stephon Diggs, of course, as a Maryland guy. But I read even more about him that I liked a lot. Scotty, that one's very interesting to me. Crowder versus Landry. Because to me, like, I think it's Crowder and it's a no-brainer. Because you're looking at two what are called PPR guys, quote-unquote. And ultimately, Crowder's in the same offense he was last year with the same quarterback that we talked about profiles changing a little bit. If anything, I think his season gets better without the other guys on the outside. Yes, Terrelle Pryor is, of course, there. But I think Jamison Crowder's in for a monster season. While there are a lot more question marks when it comes to Jarvis Landry.
I have Landry at 18 and I got Crowder at 22. So it's not that far apart.
Well, you said that, but yeah, Allen Robinson at 21. It was farther apart. It's a different tier.
Crowder's
below Robinson.
I feel like Landry can catch as many touchdown passes as Crowder and probably going to end up with more catches.
Well, but you just projected Landry for more touchdowns than he's ever had before.
Right. I think they could both end up with 7 touchdown receptions.
All right.
I think there's going to be a tie in touchdown receptions. And for me personally, Landry Diggs, not even close. Not even close. To me, it's Landry. Or Crowder over Diggs. I'm not saying I hate Diggs or anything like that, but I just don't have him as high as some other people.
I haven't moved Diggs yet, so I can't exactly tell you where I'm going to have him. I have to have the discussion.
I got him at 31.
Okay, well, I wanted to have the discussion before. Because I have him at 32 right now, and I think I'm going to move him up after the discussion. I haven't touched it since I read what I read last night. But I have Diggs currently at 32. Last two when it comes to Jarvis Landry. Larry Fitzgerald or Jarvis Landry?
Jarvis Landry, E.G.
That's another one where I think it's very close. I'll go Fitzgerald because the offense is going to go through him, 100 receptions. So I know I'm getting that 100 receptions.
I agree with you. So it really does sound like, Scott, you are much higher on Jarvis Landry than Matt and myself are.
I am, you know, and it doesn't mean that I'm low on any of those other guys necessarily. I just think, you know, like, I like Parker. I'm bumping him up the board myself. But, you know, I think Landry's going to be very, very relevant. I think there's going to be a very telling year. I think some people are going to be surprised and maybe pleasantly about what a more complete receiver that Jarvis Landry becomes with Jay Cutler as opposed to Ryan Tannehill.
I mean, I could I agree with Scott that he's a better, he can be a better all around receiver. His game could be better, but I'm in certain instances I'm going to take the guys that I'm a little more confident in, that I know their roles haven't changed at all.
Yeah, and that's what it, and that's what I mentioned. Crowder, I mentioned Larry Fitzgerald, roles haven't changed at all. Julian Edelman is another guy who I know Corey hates, but his role hasn't changed. He's the same dude. And I think that, I know, Scott, I know you'll say Jarvis Landry easy, correct?
I have Landry 18 and Edelman 26.
So that's even easier than anyone else I've named. I don't. Who do you like, Matt, in that?
They're in the same tier. I do like Edelman. I don't think Edelman's going away, neither. Everybody says that Edelman is Brady's boy, and Edelman will get 1,000 yards.
He's not going away. It's like, it's not that I don't like Julian Edelman. I got one spot ahead of Martavis Bryant and two ahead of Tyreek Hill.
Okay, but Scotty, my problem with that is, though, when you say it's not that I don't like these guys, you're going to have them so low, you're not going to get them, and ultimately, you're not going to like them nearly as much as the people that really do like him. So even though he
I'm
may
good with that.
Okay, because even though you may like them, you're just going to be too low, ultimately.
Well, you know what? I have Emmanuel Sanders at 25, and I've ended up with him twice already.
Sure.
Because like Matt says, he goes too low. Because people look at the quarterback situation and think it's disgusting, but it's not like Trevor Siemian is Christian Hackenberg.
You know, I think Manny Sanders is one of the best values. If you're waiting and stuff.
I'll take him as a wide receiver 3 every time. Yeah. I have him ranked at 25, and he goes lower than that.
Yeah, listen, I don't disagree when it comes to Emmanuel Sanders. Okay, that's the Dolphins. Now, the Philadelphia Eagles, I also learned a lot last night by watching this game. I learned that Torrey Smith's role is the Torrey Smith role. He's going to break out, he's going to get past the defense, and he's going to get a shot. Will he convert that shot every game? Probably not. Did he do it last night? Yes. Does it make me any more or less confident than I was earlier yesterday on Torrey Smith? No, absolutely not. So let's hold the horses there. Good to see Torrey Smith scoring, though.
It was. That's classic Torrey Smith, a 50-yard bomb. But the thing that I was impressed with was the diversity of the passing game. You have Alshon Jeffery, who's a big target, who's a red zone guy who caught a touchdown. That's the role they ticket him for. Then you got Zach Ertz making possession catches in the middle of the field, and you got Torrey Smith taking the top off the defense. You have balance in the passing game. Now, look, there was a good – they're blitzing a lot, and, you know, Wentz had his issues with blitzing, but he also showed some niftiness out of the pocket, et cetera. There was a lot of good. There was some negative for Wentz. You know, I think he's a guy on the rise with a more complete receiving crew than he had last year. We can stop doing the Nelson Aguilar thing after he went catchless. In my dynasty league, I cut Nelson Aguilar last night and picked up Mac Collins. So, we could stop with the Nelson Aguilar stuff. This is all about Carson Wentz to Ertz to Jeffrey and to Torrey Smith when he's open for a bomb.
Carson Wentz, Matt, he's gonna have to be able to stand upright though.
That he is, but you know, he showed. I feel better about him after watching that. And I think the guy that really on the Eagles took that step up, and you're going to see it in drafts going forward, is Zach Ertz. There's no Jordan Matthews there. He should be getting receptions before December.
Yeah, and the running game was very interesting.
Hold on. Let's not rush into the running game.
Okay, let's not rush into the running game. I like that.
Yeah.
That's good.
I don't want to rush into the running game because we're going to break. There's a lot of the passing game we want to break down when it comes to Zach Ertz, when it comes to Alshon Jeffery. Let's take the time. I think there is a lot in the running game to pull apart, Scott, so I want to give it the proper opportunity to do so. We got that. We got Carolina and Jacksonville as well. Coming up after the break, Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Quarterback to receiver hookups. Running back depth analysis. Rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
All right, we're back here, Roto Experts in the Morning. As I said, I wanted to get into the Philadelphia Eagles and the passing game from last night that we saw. And to do that, I want to bring in the fourth co-host here at the Road Rush this morning. It's the Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson. Good morning, Corey.
Hey, what's up? What's going on, Greg? We got a fish in here.
We don't have your mic on either.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Ooh, Billy D sounding smooth this morning. It's a fish in here. I hope I don't wake his ass up.
There is a fish in here.
Yeah. They don't take better care of us. We want to eat that joint.
So Ryan Riley's fish, it'll be about $60.
It's actually better than having a mouse in the house.
Right? It is actually better than having a mouse in the house. That is just true.
So last night
Can you push over a little bit, Greg? Let me slide in here.
We saw Alshon Jeffrey connect with Carson Wentz, just like we saw Torrey Smith connect with Carson Wentz. And Alshon Jeffrey, the word on him is if he's healthy, he can be a wide receiver one, certainly for the Eagles, and arguably the back-end wide receiver one for your fantasy team. Matt, from what you saw last night, can Alshon Jeffrey be exactly what we're drafting him to be?
Yeah, no, Alshon Jeffrey, I have 16th in my rankings. The problem with him is just staying on the field, I believe. He's got the one-year deal, so he's going to be motivated. If you believe Wentz, this offense, I think it's him and Ertz, other guys, that are really going to be the centerpieces of it, and it kind of seemed evident last night. But we do have to worry about soft tissue issues with this guy, which it seems to be a reoccurring theme every year with him.
Soft tissue issues.
Okay. When it comes to Zach Ertz up the middle, we hope we didn't have to wait till December again. I don't think we're going to have to. I think Zach Ertz is also, Scotty, solidifying himself as a tight end one.
I think it's, legitimate if people start bumping him up draft boards here. I have him at 9 right now, but I wouldn't be surprised if he finishes top 5 or 6. We see Zach Ertz be Mr. Down the Stretch all the time. But I think he's going to be more consistent. He is the one guy who's actually established, like I said yesterday with Wentz. This is a guy that's returning, that's quality that actually Ertz knows. And, made some good catches last night. It was like a sliding catch where the ball was behind him and he adjusted well. And when you do something like that, that shows that you and your quarterback are on the same page, that your quarterback knows where you're going to be and where the ball might be from him. He was ready for that. I was very impressed by Zach Ertz last night.
Well, here's the thing. The one reason I wasn't as high as on Ertz as I'm moving him up now is the Jordan Matthews factor. Jordan Matthews, if he was on that roster, was going to catch like 75 passes. So losing him, taking him out of the slot and replacing him with like a Nelson Aguilar, which I ain't believing any of that nonsense. So he should be solid. EY, your co-host on Fantasy Best Friends Forever, had him, 4th?
So yeah.
He might be...
Oh, got who 4th?
Zach Ertz.
Zach Ertz.
Oh, okay. I thought you had Sean Jeffrey 4th. Tavon Austin 4th.
He's dropped Tavon Austin in his rankings.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
5th?
No. Zach Ertz solidifying himself as tight end where you rely on. Now, getting to the running game last night for Philadelphia, I think I learned a lot as well. Much like I said about Jay Ajayi a few moments ago, when it comes to Philadelphia's running game, as good as Jay Ajayi looked in his role, that's how bad LeGarrette Blount looked in his role. I thought he basically got the ball, would run 2 steps and fall. And that was consistent with LeGarrette Blount. Wendell Smallwood, on the other hand, I thought, found some openings, made something out of nothing. And I thought, for the most part, I know he missed the bad blitz pickup, which was terrible. But I thought, for the most part, Wendell Smallwood looked good running the football last night for Philadelphia, Scott.
Yeah, I thought so, too. Good vision, excellent balance. And the thing that I saw with Smallwood is that not every running back has was the patience. And just, waiting for the holes to develop and then kind of just gliding through them. I was very, very impressed. Now, look, I still think it's going to be a timeshare. Blunt's going to be the hammer. And, this guy is probably going to be more of, more dynamic, I think, than if that's the word you want to use, than Blount. I think it'll be a timeshare. But I think Wendell Smallwood's got to start to climb a little bit. I know Matt said he went the 8th round of one of the drafts recently. I think that's a little too rich, but I would certainly take him for depth. I would, because it wouldn't surprise me if he continues to play like this that he becomes the clear number one over Blunt, and Blunt just becomes a short yardage hammer.
Well, one thing we need to take away is Darren Sproles has been under bubble wrap. He has not been, you know, which is, there's no reason for him to have to play. We know what Darren Sproles can do. And he's still productive. As old as he is, he's still productive. He's going to be a key member of this offense. So he's the running back I want in Philadelphia.
Yeah, but the question, Corey, is do you want a running back in Philadelphia at all? Like I said, like Garrett Blunt didn't look great, but Scott's right. When it comes down to scoring touchdowns and punching in, it's going to be Blunt's role. Problem is, he's not going to do anything in between the 20s or maybe even between the 10s, they would say.
Until he gets himself in shape. Once he gets himself in game shape, I think LeGarrette Blunt will play a little bit better. I'm not getting off him because of this bad performance. He's had a bad performance all preseason. But one thing I will say is I do think Wendell Smallwood is draftable now. Back to LeGarrette Blunt, though. You don't want him in your starting lineup. You want to make sure that he pops and hits. So if not, you want to have enough real estate where you can cut him if he doesn't if he doesn't do anything. But Smallwood on my board, late round. Wendell Smallwood, late round. What's homeboy name? LeGarrette Blunt, double digit rounds, and I'm comfortable with him scoring touchdowns and playing himself into shape.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to see that in order for him to have a bit of success. Let's get into the other game now. Let's get into Carolina and Jacksonville, which, of course, also took place last night. And the big takeaway was the return of Cam Newton playing his first preseason game. Listen, he handed the ball off almost every time he touched the football. Threw two passes total, one to Christian McCaffrey, and I believe one to Kelvin Benjamin. That was it. Nothing else. But at least he's healthy, I guess, right? Like, at least he was healthy and he made it out of there okay. Jonathan Stewart once again started. I know nobody likes Jonathan Stewart. Nobody wants to draft Jonathan Stewart. But he started for this team. I think his role is the same as it has been for years in this offense. If he stays healthy, he's going to be the goal line back. He's going to be the guy up the middle. Although Christian McCaffrey did run it up the middle last night. We saw a pass from Cam to Christian. I know you and I were looking for that,
yep.
Corey. So what were your takeaways, Matt, from this Carolina portion of the game?
I think Cam should be a number one QB in fantasy. I know a lot of people.
And the two passes.
No, but he's on the field. Every time we write this guy off, He becomes the MVP or he's in MVP contention. I like McCaffrey. I have no problem taking Jay Stew later on. He comes at a cheap value, but I'm not going to get off McCaffrey because of Jonathan Stewart's run. Jonathan Stewart, just look at his game logs every year, what happens to him. He's 30 years old. The other takeaway is Kelvin Benjamin. We know Vaccaro likes him, whether he wants to say it or not. We've seen him taking him and stuff. And he's the number one, and a guy that I was shying away from, but a guy that's been moving up my boards.
Yeah, I would say, you know, you look at Stewart, and how many years did he share with D'Angelo Williams? He's used to that timeshare. This could become a timeshare with both guys are relevant. Stewart less to a degree, maybe for some touchdowns here and there, maybe for some running back depth. But, you know, with McCaffrey, he's not the type of guy where you need max touches to get the numbers. I feel like he's so talented that he can make the most of every touch as both a runner and receiver, and there's a lot of upside there. And if you don't overwork a kid like that, you know, he's going to be dangerous every single time he touches the ball. As far as Cam goes, you know, it's there are just other quarterbacks I like ahead of him. It was good to see him go through his progressions quickly and just make some quick judgments. Wouldn't shock me if he's top 10, top 8 again this year. Just like there's other guys that are just like ahead of him. As far as Benjamin, looks like he's back in shape. He might be motivated. And you have to like him as a wide receiver 3, I think.
Now, Corey.
Yeah.
Two things in what Scott and Matt have just said. One, the last thing. Kelvin Benjamin, you like him as a wide receiver 3. You've been all Kelvin Benjamin for most of this summer. You really wanted nothing to do with him. Now, there have been people, whispers, that like, listen, we're underrating Kelvin Benjamin. You talked a lot about LeGarrette Blunt playing himself into shape. I think the same could be said for Kelvin Benjamin showing up to camp and playing himself into shape as well.
No doubt.
Is Kelvin Benjamin someone that you have, I guess, been more open to in recent days?
Not really. I still think Kelvin Benjamin's an uninspiring player. I agree with the Sealy concept. You like him better in standard than you do in the PPR. He's not going to be a high target guy. He's not going to be a high reception guy, in my opinion. But what he can give you in the end zone, I like it a little bit better as a wide receiver 4. Let me pose this to the table. Who would you rather have, Kelvin Benjamin or Tyreek Hill?
That's a very good question. I have Tyreek Hill rank a few spots higher. I think he's more dynamic. I think Kelvin Benjamin could score more touchdowns, or should certainly, from the receiving aspect.
That's very to score more touchdowns than Tyreek Hill.
I think he should. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Tyreek Hill.
I'm going to take Tyreek Hill, but it's a lot closer than I thought it would be.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
I have Hill ranked higher, but I would tend to end up with Benjamin more on my teams, I think.
So then shouldn't you adjust those rankings?
No, because, you know, Hill I have lower than a lot of other people, and he always goes off the board before I'm ready to take him.
Gotcha.
So then Benjamin's there, and I'll take him.
Christian McCaffrey, Matt, you're obviously extremely high on him. You have him almost everywhere.
Actually, I don't. I always try and get him, and he goes a pick before me. I only have like maybe two shares of McCaffrey,
right,
but
right.
I'm not going to shy away. I think
that was the question.
You know, it's just the receptions will save him.
Okay, fair enough. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're gonna talk more. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rashard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning. And the other team, of course, to play last night on the other side of Carolina were the Jacksonville Jaguars, who's in the midst of a quarterback battle I don't think a lot of us saw coming a couple weeks ago. And that it's Bortles versus Henny. And Henny looked last night. Blake Bortles led two touchdown drives against Carolina backups, of course, and threw a couple interceptions against Carolina backups as well. But this quarterback controversy, if you will, seems no closer to ending than it did 24 hours ago. Allen Robinson, we talked about briefly earlier on in the show. What did you think, Matt, of Jacksonville's performance last night, in particular the quarterback play?
I really didn't see the game. I was drafted and auctioning at the same time. I did tape it. I caught a very little of it. And I'll watch it later. I do want to see. Look, Chad Henne isn't the answer neither. So I think ultimately it's going to be Bortles as the guy there. And I don't know if either one can do it, to be honest with you.
You still have a VCR?
Well, whatever. DVR'd it.
Yeah.
You can tape stuff without a VCR nowadays, Scott.
Technically, it's DVR it.
How do you watch your game film, Scott?
On YouTube and on Xbox.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe you watch your game tape.
The Xbox Live NFL app is incredible.
Ding.
Yeah.
My fantasy rotation is looking pretty good.
How come I make that joke yesterday? He yelled at me.
What?
Yeah. For the record.
I'm in a better mood today.
Clearly. So, Corey, you had also last night Alan Hearns played for basically the first time in the preseason, fighting with Marquise Lee, D.D. Westbrook for that, you know, a major role in this offense. But given the quarterback conundrum, I just don't want to mess with it.
Yeah, I think I'm right. I'm staying away right now. I do want, and that is the opportunity there. But this quarterback situation is so terrible. This guy's going to be free. Not necessarily free, but he might start dropping a six this weekend. So now you have to make it, like, you'll be making a decision between Allen Robinson and guys like Jamison Crowder, which he should definitely go ahead of. But right now, how can you not like a guy like Crowder better? You feel what I'm saying? Allen Robinson, if I'm him, I'm like, man, get me out of here so I can get this money.
Well, let me ask you this. I asked these guys a bit earlier, Corey, because we were talking about Miami. Miami. We're talking about Jarvis Landry. How I think he needs to be significantly lower on him than you were really before Jay Cutler, before we saw Jay Cutler play. Would you rather have Allen Robinson or Jarvis Landry?
Jarvis Landry.
You would rather have Jarvis Landry.
I think Jarvis Landry gets involved in the offense. I still think he leads them in receptions. I just don't think, you know, Jay Cutler's friend ain't really talking about him right now like he talking about his other weapons.
I get it, but I don't care what they talk about. I just care what I saw last night, which is 50-50 balls, deeper passes. Devontae Parker giving him a shot, and Kenny Stills a shot. Yeah, giving Jarvis Landry a shot, but that's not really his game, and that's what scared me.
It was kind of played down when I said it the other week. I wouldn't be surprised if what you're saying is correct, Greg. They may try to phase him out the offense so they don't have to pay him.
I don't disagree with you.
Phase who out of it?
Jarvis Landry. Jarvis
Landry. I don't see it happening. You know, with all due respect, I'm not judging everything by one night. You're not going to see all the looks from offense and defense, like I said, in one night. He's still going to be Landry's still going to be their best possession guy. They can't go to Parker downfield all the time. I think you see a different statistical profile from Jarvis Landry, and they're both going to be very relevant this year, I think.
I know. I mean, you've predicted Jarvis Landry for a career high touchdown just a few moments ago. Mm-hmm. So I totally disagree, Scotty, but we'll see. That's what makes
fantasy world go around.
Absolutely. When we come back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, we've now reviewed the last two games. When we come back, let's give the Andrew Luck update. I want to give you my thought on this, which has changed in the last 24 hours. We'll break it down, all the big news that's fit to print here. Roto Experts in the Morning, coming up, hour number two, next.